Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sequels. Hollywood's answer to the difficult second album. They need to follow a number of simple rules if they want to be successful. You know, things like character development or the exploration of new ideas, but one thing they all must do is actually be a sequel. A cinematic lore sadly lost on these projects, as despite being presented to us as continuations of beloved franchises and stories, had absolutely nothing to do with the films they shared a title with. My name is Adam Cleary, and these are 10 movies you wrongly thought were sequels. Number 10, Cruel Intentions 2. I just want to start here because A, it's a good example of the rest of the list, but also B, I need to get back to suppressing its memory as quick as possible. Long story short, Cruel Intentions 2 is not Cruel Intentions 2, it's more accurately Cruel Intentions The Redo, but where Reese Witherspoon and Sarah Michelle Gellar's characters just neck on at the end. Originally envisioned as a prequel TV series to the hit film, production was cancelled not long into filming, and the solution was simply to stitch together the three completed episodes, package it as a motion picture, title it Cruel Intentions 2, and then, genuinely, just film some extra Rudy bits for the DVD release. And yes, everything I've just said is somehow true. It's notable for having Amy Adams in it, I guess, has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, but is not in any way, shape, or form a sequel. Number 9, 10 Cloverfield Lane. While this obviously isn't titled Cloverfield 2, it's still understandable that everybody expected it to be a follow-up to J.J. Abrams' monster movie. I mean, think about it, if back in 1974 Francis Ford Coppola had dropped 47 Godfather Boulevard on us, we'd probably have made the same assumption. But no, what we actually got was just John Goodman terrorising Mary Elizabeth Winstead, putting this poor sap in a barrel, and at the end, there's just some generic alien stuff. When reviewers finally got their hands on it and asked J.J. Abrams' mate what the hell, he revealed that it was in fact an anthology movie. Basically meaning that while they have absolutely nothing in common whatsoever, they inhabit the same universe, and besides, don't worry, when the God Particle comes out in a few years, all will be revealed. The God Particle ended up being the Cloverfield Paradox, revealed absolutely nothing, and unlike 10 Cloverfield Lane, wasn't even good in doing it. Number 8, The Limey. Considering that you actually see footage of Terrence Stamp from 1967's Poor Cow in Steven Soderbergh's The Limey, you'd be easily forgiven for presuming that the 1999 film was a follow-up to Ken Loach's directorial debut. That, of course, was not the case, even if it was the received wisdom at the time. The story here is actually incredibly boring. Soderbergh simply wanted some footage of Terrence Stamp while he looked like Terrence Stamp, and the guy's career has just been so varied, there aren't many films where he looks like Terrence Stamp. The story about how he got the footage is slightly more interesting though, as he asked for the entire film to be released to him as he didn't know what bits he wanted to use. Warner Brothers said, no, Soderbergh said, fine, but I'll never work for you again, and then somebody at the WB gazed into a crystal ball, saw all the Ocean movies and Magic Mike, and bent to his will. Number 7, Home Alone 3. Can someone say cynical cash grab? Because I can. Home Alone 3 is less of a straight sequel to the wonderful Macaulay Culkin movies, and more of a completely different movie, with one very basic similarity, the fact it's called Home Alone. The massive air quotes sequel managed to lose the two things that made the original good, namely the McAllister clan and the Wet Bandits, but it's the complete lack of any ties to the original film beyond the vague idea of home invasion and some funny traps that's the real crime here. And if that's all it takes to be a Home Alone movie, then who's to say the Saw movies aren't set in this universe, or the original Purge, or Funny Games, or anything. You can't just have plot similarities with none of the other connecting tissue and call something a sequel. There are too many lies in the world as it is. Number 6, The Bourne Legacy. even with a different central protagonist played fantastically by Jeremy Renner, it has to be said, The Bourne Legacy still felt like a sequel. Given that, you know, the title was literally pulled from a genuine Jason Bourne book written by the original author, Eric von Lustbada. Sure, there are links and a few similar characters, but Legacy was entirely its own thing. It introduced chemical augmentation to its whole super soldier thing, and its only real connection to Bourne was this whole vibe of shady government black ops. It's just an anthology movie, really, the same as 10 Cloverfield Lane is, and it arguably would have done better with the critics and at the box office if it hadn't been lumbered with that Bourne branding. And that way it wouldn't have been compared to all the movies that had come before it, which, I don't think I'm being unkind here, it was not as good as. Number 5, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. It should go without saying that Michael Myers is synonymous with the Halloween brand. Hell, he is the brand. Universal found this out the hard way, though, when they had the audacity to make a sequel without him. While he did put a 3 in the title and release it as part of the Halloween series, look, there they are pretending they're friends, Season of the Witch had absolutely nada to do with the first two films. It's not even that the main draw character is gone either, the story has nothing to do with anything that's come before it. Almost as if, and yes, I'm getting tired of saying this, it was another goddamn anthology movie. While this didn't kill the franchise outright, it did make the other two stone-cold classics look weaker by association. Like some sort of bizarre concept album released after two runaway hits. Two stabby, murderous runaway hits. Number 4, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. If it wasn't for the on-screen confirmation that the film is set in 1935, and thus before Raiders of the Lost Ark, you would be forgiven for thinking the second released Indiana Jones film was the second Indiana Jones film. After all, who would even want to make a prequel for a character that was only introduced 3 years ago? You get none of the soft reboot benefits that normally come with prequelization. Regardless, though, it is definitely a prequel for some reason, and not the immediate follow-up the marketing tried to tell us it was going to be. And yeah, alright, that's not a massive deal on the face of it, but it does make the fact that in Raiders, Indy dismisses all magic as, and I quote, a lot of superstitious hocus-pocus, a little bit weird, given he just not 1 year prior had a run-in with voodoo. Maybe it's just religious magic he doesn't go in for, or he forgot. Number 3, Troll 2. Somewhat infamously in the video game world, the version of Super Mario Bros. 2 that was released to the Western world was a different game entirely. They just threw random Mario characters in so that idiots like me and you would buy it. And the same trick was attempted by US distributors with the movie Goblins. Not at all confident in its ability to succeed on its own merit, they renamed it Troll 2 after the 1986 original. Why? Well, because that film made $5 million off a modest $700,000 budget. And while the title did trick many people into thinking it was a sequel, well, the film did not. The two stories have nothing in common, that title is a complete misnomer, and I mean, just use your eyes. They're clearly goblins, obviously. Number 2, The Evil Dead 2. Now, there has been debate for years about the nature of this film. And when I say debate, I mean, of course, that some fans will come at you with a pitchfork if you say it's not a sequel. Sure, they'll say it retreads some of the same ground, but it's different enough, and you're not even my real dad. Plus, it opens with a recap, and why would you have a recap if something's not a sequel, and yeah, etc, etc, etc. Look, I hate to be the one to ruin everybody's fun here, but it is clearly a remake, and that whole recap at the start is to stop you watching the first film and getting confused. And the way to prove this is because the recap itself is littered with inconsistencies, meaning it probably didn't even happen. Where are my dead bodies around the cabin? And even if you're not interested in that dose of common sense, the similarities between the two movies are impossible to ignore. It's a remake. I'll put that away. I'm going home.
Oh, hang on, I've got one more.
Number 1, Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights. The moment someone even suggested making a sequel to Dirty Dancing a full 20 years after the original should have also been the exact moment the conversation was killed dead. But it wasn't for some reason, and the studio brought out a belated follow-up in 2004. It stars Ramona Garay, Diego Luna, and is also, for some reason, just set in Cuba. To make matters more confusing, it's a full 5 years before the original film, and if you're thinking, oh good, prequel, no, it just steals the plot. Still not nonsensical enough for you? Well, here you go. Patrick Swayze makes a cameo as an unnamed dance teacher. That is a man who, in the chronology of Dirty Dancing, is about 19 years old, getting played by a dude in his 50s again for some reason.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.